Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting virtually next to my co-host, Joshua Crouch. And we're going to talk about accounting today, but we're not going to talk about the sucky accounting. We're going to talk about accounting that doesn't have to suck.
Is there accounting that doesn't have to suck? I guess maybe we should answer that question too.
Right. Yeah. So Spencer's been on the show before. It's been a long time now. I didn't realize it until I went back to look at our previous episode. But it's been many years since Spencer's been on the show. But I'm super excited to have him on the show. I actually have a handful of books here to actually give away. So after we've talked with Spencer, then we're going to do a giveaway, and Josh will talk about that. But before we get started with that, you're welcome, Josh.
It's funny because Tersh says we'll talk about that because we have no idea what we're going to do for the giveaway.
Josh doesn't know, and it's Josh's problem, not mine. So.
this episode is gonna be fun.
So also a hurricane is going on right now in my backyard, so I may actually lose service throughout this podcast, but fingers crossed.
That's like an everyday thing. I love how, like, when I asked Tersh about the weather, he's like, there's like a tornado down the road. He sends me a picture this morning of a tornado that was down in Savannah. He's like, yeah, it's like no big deal. It's just normal weather for us at the end of summer.
It really is. Every afternoon, it's going to rain for 2 hours, and it's going to be a gazillion degrees. You're going to see like steam coming off the asphalt. Yeah, that's here. That's Savannah. But yeah, before we get started, let's give a shout out to the people who make this episode possible. Josh, you want to give a shout out to UpFrog?
Yeah, actually, Justin just sent out he's doing a little bit of a giveaway with some of his reactivation and rehash stuff. And I think he's doing some ads or he's got his own Facebook group where he's doing that, where he's actually giving you, he's not just telling you like what to do. He's actually giving you the script to use in a platform. Obviously he's still got to set it up and stuff, but he gives you the actual script that he's using. And Tersh has seen these scripts work for his own business. So it's something that's super valuable. But again, like anything, you get a free giveaway, you got to do the work. So use that as leverage for you this fall, or talk with UpFrog and have them do it for you.
Absolutely. Next up is Sarah. We recently onboarded with Sarah. Sarah's great. There's a lot of things that, I guess the best way to say it is it's less steps involved and a very simplification of the entire CRM platform process. So it's really cool. And everybody knows transitioning from one CRM platform to another is like, if I wasn't bald, I'd probably go bald doing it. But it's actually the support team that I have over at Sarah has been great. Anytime I have a question, we literally can text him, and Parker can, you know, help us out and let us know
the
exactly
fact that
what,
you know, their name is right. A big win. Like literally, if like people that have gone through CRM onboarding and stuff, just the fact you know your person's name and you can call them up by their first name, that's huge. Like, there's a lot of people who'd have no idea who the rep even is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Parker's great. And he's patient. That's the best part about it, because there's a lot of times where I ask a question we went over during a live chat or a video conference call. And I'm like, if I was answering these questions that I'm asking, I'd probably throat chop whoever it is that's asking me these questions. Cause I just
asked a lot of questions. Who would have thought? I mean,
no, not at all. I mean, that's my podcast. Yeah, but awesome. Sarah really is great. If you have any questions or anything about a CRM platform, don't hesitate to reach out to me or get connected with Billy and his team over at Sarah.
Yeah, and next we have Copeland. So Copeland and Emerson split off two different divisions. So obviously everyone knows them by their compressors and stuff like that. And they're back on the podcast here soon. We're trying to work out some dates. But they bring a lot of really good information, especially when it comes to compressors, because there's so many compressors get called faulty, and they're not actually faulty. It's either something with a diagnostic or something else. And they have a lot of great training and education to help your team make sure that you're doing accurate diagnostics, so that way you're giving the homeowner the actual truth, not making something up.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, Company Cam. So I actually have a Zapier integration between Sarah and Company Cam. So every time a new appointment is created in Sarah, it automatically creates a new project in Company Cam, which is really cool because then I can create, I have created different reports inside of Company Cam. So the technician can do that report when they get on site, which collects the metadata for those technicians, which is great for the marketing side of things whenever you collect that information for use later on.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Let's get started.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, yeah. What button do we click here? I don't remember.
I have no idea. You're the boss.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey, Spencer. Hey, Spencer. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good.
Really good.
So for those who don't know who you are, can you do a quick introduction of yourself and why you decided to do accounting?
Do you mean the original reason or why I'm doing it now? Very different stories.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, both, either way.
Sure. So Spencer Shannon, our business is Shift Financial Insights. We make accounting not suck for business owners and business leaders. And that's actually, I'm really passionate about the not sucking part. I heard you guys joking about it in the intro. And it doesn't have to suck. And, you know, I actually grew up, my dad's a CPA. I kind of let that slip occasionally. So I come by it honestly. And I was actually, you know, finishing up school. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And my dad introduced me to the idea. And, you know, I don't know how much any of the listeners kind of know the big accounting firms, but most people have heard of PricewaterhouseCoopers or at least knows vaguely of it. I articled with a company, the predecessor, which was Coopers and Lybrand. So that's how long I've been doing this. And honestly, I hated accounting. It was terrible. I drove to work nauseous. I couldn't wait to get my degree so I could quit, which I did basically the next day. So, yeah. You know, you might be going, why do you have an accounting practice now? Like, what's right. going on? And it was actually, so I've had a few different businesses. I've had a business in manufacturing, construction, cold storage, and you know, there was a point, you know, and if some of them were decent sized businesses, we had over 200 employees in those businesses combined. And I was miserable. I hated my life. I wasn't connected to the businesses. I wasn't enjoying them. I wasn't sleeping. This was after 2008. So all businesses were struggling. And I made a decision that I wanted a change in what I did and how I showed up. And I wanted to have more meaning and impact in what I was doing. So it took me a few years, but I exited those businesses. Best described as not as well as I would have liked, but better than it could have been. I
think we've all been there a little bit.
We've all been there, right? Every business owner has a horror story. And so I was like, well, what am I going to do now? And I was actually at a finance talk in a room full of business owners and entrepreneurs. And he was super brilliant. But he was talking fast and he was pretty technical. And you know, I'm pretty good with numbers. You'd probably expect I'm pretty good with numbers. And I'm like literally listening going like, okay, got it. Okay, got it.
Hyper focused on him.
It was hard for me to keep up. And the joke is I corrected one of his formulas and everybody's laughing because they have no idea what's going on. And here I am correcting his formula. And there was a guy at the table next to me. He's like, hey, I know this is super important. I don't understand it. Can you help me put it in my business? And that was kind of like the first light bulb moment of a series of light bulb moments, which led to Shift, where it's like, you know, accounting's a language. It's a technical language. I went to school to learn how to write, create, and interpret it. Being a business owner, being an entrepreneur is a language. They're different languages. And so there's not, you know, I think, you know, as an accountant, I was learned debits and credits and financial statements. I didn't learn the mindset of business and vice versa. We're not taught how to read financials unless you happen to do some accounting courses. And I was mentioning to Josh before we came on, it's like, if you handed me a set of plans, I'd be like, yeah, that's the front door, I think. Like, I don't know how to read plans. Same thing in reverse when it comes to accounting and finance. So, you know, that was kind of the birth. And I was like, you know, we can really have an impact for these business owners who are struggling, you know, feeling stuck, frustrated, often embarrassed about the state of their books, going like, you know, like I should know better. I should know how to tell my accountant what to do, but I don't. You know, I've even heard.
Or it just knowing what the accountant's saying, or not sound, you know, not feeling like a fool whenever you're asking that question there.
The glaze-eyed look, right? When the accountant's just droning on. And that's because the accountant doesn't understand what the business owner really needs. You know, so having, you know, speaking both languages. And, you know, I had one guy I was talking to, and he said to me, it was actually at a similar event. And he was like, you know, I'm not getting the information I need to run my business. And he kind of leaned in and lowered his voice. He goes, I don't really know what information I need. I just know I'm not getting it. And he kind of sat there quietly. So yeah, it's a huge problem. And we were just inspired to help business owners, you know, get some freedom of mind, peace of mind. So you're not stressed all the time. You're not worried about money all the time. You're not getting that like, hey, we don't have enough for payroll on Thursday call, you know, like that type of thing. No surprises. So that's the brief story.
That's awesome. I think Tersh knows this about me, but I don't know if he does. So before I got into the HVAC industry, so I've always loved numbers myself, mostly like statistics, especially with sports and stuff. I was literally the kid, like before they had all the other stuff on TV, I would literally like write down how many yards per kid. Like I literally had a notebook for the.
You ran all the pools.
I actually kept stats for each game. How many yards, all this stuff. I was kind of a nerd. Still am.
Kind of. I mean, that sounds a lot like a nerd to me.
So when you become an adult, you're like, okay, well, I like numbers. And when you say I like numbers or you're good with numbers, you're like, well, accounting. So I went into accounting for 3 years. I freaking hated it and did not like, it was the monotony month over month of kind of the same thing. Cause I was an accounting clerk trying to learn and go to school and all this stuff. It's just like, oh my God, it's so boring, entering receipts and payables and all that stuff. And I found a job opening as an accountant for an HVAC company. So I applied. I'm like, shit, I'm not a full accountant. I'm not certified or anything, but they're looking for someone. It's a lower paying thing. Like, let's just try it out. And literally like I ended up not doing hardly any accounting there at all. And just, it literally, that's how my HVAC career started, was through like applying to an accountant's job. And then obviously didn't do any accounting from there and started hiring people out for that. But I totally resonate with what you said about like accounting, just if you really don't love, like it can really drag you down. Yeah. So I, with that being said, so you've had these light bulb moments where people asked a question, you're like, oh, maybe there is a different way or a better way. What did that, how, maybe you could share a couple more of those light bulb moments where it really became clear, like what types of thing business owners really want to see.
Yeah. You know, if I can just go back one step before that question, which is kind of like, what are the problems? No, you're saying no. All right. No, but I want to just kind of like articulate what are kind of the problem that, you know, makes the solutions that much easier, those light bulb moments that make it click and not suck. And of course, I'm not talking about actually doing the day-to-day bookkeeping. There are bookkeepers, there are controllers, let them do that. They're wired for that kind of thing. But, you know, I always use the example of like building a house. We all know if you wanted to build yourself a beautiful custom home, you get a general contractor, they'd hire a bunch of subtrades. And depending on the size of the job, there might be a couple laborers on site, you know, digging ditches, hauling cement, that type of thing. And we all know that that's super intuitive, but in an accounting department, it works really the same way. You've got the CFO, who's like your general contractor. They run everything. They make sure it's on track. They're looking at the strategy of your accounting and your future numbers. You've got the controller, who's kind of like the subtrades. They're doing a lot of the work. They're making sure, but they've got technical skills. And then you've got the bookkeeper, who's like the laborer. They're doing all the data entry, the basic stuff, the stuff that you particularly hated when you first went into accounting. And I can't do repetitive work either like you. But so, you know, the thing that happens for businesses that are sort of, you know, I'm going to say small, medium, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5, even up to 10 or 12 million sometimes, you know, we can't afford a full-time bookkeeper, a full-time controller, and a full-time CFO. So we end up hiring a bookkeeper to run the entire accounting department. That's kind of like hiring a laborer to build your whole house. Sure, they're going to probably have some plumbing skills. They'll probably have some electrical skills. They'll have some carpentry. But you would never do that. But we do that with our business all the time. So that's kind of why we often get in a jam, and why those the business owners who don't necessarily know what to ask for, who don't know how to drive results out of their accounting department, get frustrated because they're going to the wrong person for the wrong thing. You know, the nothing bad, that's not a dig at bookkeepers. We have lots of bookkeepers on our team. They're wonderful. It's just a different skill set and a different knowledge on what needs to happen when. So, you know, kind of before the light bulbs, it's really important to recognize that we're often going to the wrong person for what we need, not knowing it's the wrong person. So
I like that analogy. I think that people will understand that, because we've had those conversations. We're about a $3 million business. So we're right in that range where you're talking, like, so we still do a lot of the, you know, different with the receipts and the credit card stuff, like we'll enter that stuff. But it's like, at some point it's like, okay, there's a number of transactions here. It's getting to be a little bit laborious. I think that's the word on our side. I'm like, maybe we need to hire. And then you start looking, like, well, the first thing you think to hire is like a bookkeeper. That's what, I don't know if that's the way our minds are wired, or we just have been taught that way.
It's a cost thing. Channels. It's a cost maybe thing. Until the last number of years, when doing things remotely or online made it easier to do a fractional type experience. Yeah. So a lot of people have exactly what you're talking about. And the other thing besides the pain, and I don't like doing it, and I'd rather be doing something in my business, is the risk. You know, if things aren't done properly, current on time, when things are going off track, you know, when you're not on top of the numbers, if you don't know for 3 months, it's three times more painful than if you can catch it right away. It's almost like, I think about accounting in some ways as a bit of an insurance policy. If you're on track and there's like, you're going to be stopped from going off track or doing the wrong thing because you're on top of the numbers. So, yeah. So that's a poke for you, Josh, to get on top of it. We can talk. We'll talk after.
So a lot of people say that looking at your financials or your P&Ls is like looking in the rearview mirror, or you're looking after something's already done. Are you of the same mindset, or, I mean, is it okay? Like, should we wait until the 15th of the next month to look at things, or should these things be looked at on a weekly basis, or how does that work?
So yes to all of that. So totally agree. Financials are backwards looking. That's just the reality of financials. Yes, you can have budgets and cash flows that are looking forward, but for the most part, most of us, especially like in that, you know, kind of $5, $10 million range, we're looking backwards. The point that I always come back to is what looking backwards is looking for what's not working and what are the root causes. The 80-20 rule is almost always in place for almost every set of problems. So if you look and your numbers aren't what they're like, by understanding what's going on, and we can talk about kind of some of the analysis, but by understanding that and getting to the root cause, by having the right information to go, oh, our average margin is down 3%. Is that labor or is that materials? Oh, it's in materials, but it's actually in our install division, but our service division is doing right. Our plumbing division is doing well. So something's going on with our materials in the install division. Now we can actually start to root cause. Is it because somebody's not following a procedure? Is it because there isn't a procedure in place? Is it because the costing hasn't been updated? Is it because we're missing on pricing? So whatever the historical problem is probably going to allow us to root cause that. If we fix it, it'll prevent it going forward.
The scenario you just went over. So
yeah,
obviously I wouldn't expect a typical bookkeeper to be able to do that, because that's not, I mean, it could be in their skill set, but maybe isn't part of their normal activities. So what level of skill set are we looking at for someone that can identify those problems?
That's going to be more like a controller. So like a controller's function is reporting and compliance. So doing the reports, but, you know, of course, cash flow forecasts and budgets. I've said it twice now because a lot of people don't have them. But it's also the compliance, making sure the policies and procedures are in place. We're using the right software. We're using the right accounting system. The bookkeeper's doing a good job. So that would be more like the controller function, kind of equal to the sub trade in the building a house analogy.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's important for people to know.
I just want to go back real quick, Tersh, to your original question, which is, and what are the other key metrics that we can be looking at weekly at a minimum? So is it revenue? Is it labor? Is it, you know, what are the key metrics that you want to improve in the business? We should be looking at those weekly. But practically speaking, if you're getting your books done accurate within a couple weeks of month end, that's reasonable for you to continue to build as long as you're reviewing them and actioning them going forward. A couple of weeks is fair. Faster is better, but a couple of weeks is okay.
Right. So 15th is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we talk a lot about AI on this podcast, especially with everything going on in the world in the past 6 months or so. How do you feel about AI in bookkeeping and data entry?
Yeah. So, I've talked to the CEO of a couple of the leading AI accounting firms, and I mean, in fairness, I haven't talked to them for a little bit. So, just take that with that disclosure. It's going to be most relevant. It's going to have the biggest difference for the really big companies that are having 5, 10, 15 people doing the same repetitive job all the time, because the AI can learn. The problem with our smaller businesses is there's a lot of kind of one-off stuff. There's a lot of unusual stuff. And the AI learns based on the volume of what's going through. So the bigger problem, and I think this is a problem with accounting overall, because frankly, I hate how most people do their analysis of financials. I don't think it's designed with the business owner in mind. So if you take kind of the collective wisdom of how to analyze financial statements or how to process the books and put it into AI, it's coming out with that kind of crappy basis on which the AI is learning from. So I think there are some, you know, I would almost think of it more from like a RPA, robotic process automation, where it's like, what are the most repetitive things we're doing? And is there a tool that can automate that? Which may not be AI. AI, I know, is the buzzword. I mean, we're building AI both in
everything everything is AI now. Even though it's not like a lot of stuff is like it's more natural language processing,
Machine learning of some sort.
Machine learning. It's not actual artificial intelligence where it's actually becoming like smarter. At least not yet.
So that's where I think it's more about the trick. We actually looked at hiring a fractional AI CAIO for our business. And we actually ended up not doing it because it's such a buzzword. And there's people that it's like, well, put ChatGPT into your business. It's like, well, for our business, you know, like we played around doing some analysis on the financials using ChatGPT, and it was not good. And so, you know, in our business, we're implementing it, one for recruiting, scanning resumes, sending out the first set of tests for the candidates, scanning those tests. And then we only start interviewing once they've passed those two tests. Saves our admin team a whole bunch of time. You know, we're doing that with, you know, we do lead gen, you know, when interested leads come in, you know, we do an automated response. So it's a quick turnaround, blah, blah, blah. So it reads it, it figures out what it wants, and then responds back. So we are doing AI, but it's not just like put AI in your business. I think it's a question of which functions within the business can you save time, be efficient, and look for that tool. Because, you know, AI is not going to go out and install an HVAC system anytime soon, at least not that I know of.
Well, let me ask you. So I tried doing this, and I'm in some Facebook groups, and I know Tersh is too, but I was some guy that was like, hey, let me help you with a prompt that you're thinking about. And I'm like, well, you know, marketing analysis based on like, hey, if I give it a data set, here's what that means. Which I would think on the financial side would be really probably even more valuable. But I would think, have you seen anyone putting together something like that? I mean, I'm sure they're dabbling or trying something that's actually like,
I haven't seen anything
useful.
Good. I haven't seen anything good. You know, it's kind of like, so here's, I'll kind of say something I said before, a little bit different. When you were talking about, you know, you're talking to the accountants and the accountants droning on using language you don't understand, blah, blah, blah. That's what I've seen with AI when it comes to analytics. So like, if AI is learning from all of these accountants who are saying this is how to analyze financials, it's still the same stuff coming out. So to me, the question isn't, you know, how do accountants think about your financials? It's, you know, what are the key levers in my business? How do I apply leverage to my business to have the biggest financial impact? And like, I think accountants try to make it too complicated. There's only about 6 things you can do to increase the cash or profit in your business. You can increase sales. You can decrease your cost of goods, i.e. increase your gross margin. You can decrease your expenses. Those are the only 3 things you can do to increase your profit. On the balance sheet, you can collect faster. You can turn your inventory faster so it's not sitting on trucks or warehouse. Or you can pay a little bit slower without hurting anybody or pissing anyone off. Yeah, debt, capital assets, balance sheet's a little more complicated, but just for a quick easy, those are the 6 things you can do. So rather than having this big complicated analysis, why don't we look at those 6 levers, say which one's impacting the business the most? Oh, it's cost of goods. Okay, well, what part of cost of goods? Is it labor? Is it materials? Is it something else? Oh, it's materials. Okay, well, is it which division within? And just literally go down to be like, it's this is your problem. Go fix this problem. Whereas AI just, it kind of, it drones on a little. Like I'm reading this report and even I'm getting bored.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would think, especially, and in Tersha, maybe you can answer this. I don't know if it's kind of tapered off this year. It probably doesn't feel like it has, but like during the COVID years, having someone to help you analyze, especially the materials side, because materials were just like insane.
Yeah. Oh, they're crazy right now.
Still, okay. So having someone to help you analyze that, because immediately like that, if you get too far in, you say, like you said, you get 3 months in, you're like, holy shit, like we're not doing well.
Yeah.
And you don't even know it. But if you have someone to help you analyze that stuff every single month or, you know, whatever, and you can see like it's drilled down, we find it's materials in this division, meaning it's this supplier. And then that supplier raised prices and maybe didn't notice or went to your spam inbox or whatever the case is.
And
can
so
help you make decisions.
This is very much that forward versus backward that Tersh was talking about, where, you know, analyzing and understanding the numbers is one thing. But actually kind of what you're talking about for me in HVAC is actually more of an operations function, staying on top of the price book, making sure we're quoting accurately. Don't rely on your accountants for it. Your bookkeeper isn't going to go in and analyze price changes as they're coming in. That should really be as quotes are happening, making sure the price book is current. And again, the problem for a lot of smaller HVAC businesses is staying on top of the price book is not easy. It's actually really hard. It's a lot. Yeah. Tersh is nodding vehemently there. It's really hard to stay on top of. And this again is why kind of like that building analogy, if you only have a bookkeeper, if you don't have someone updating the price book, it gets really hard. So the question starts to become, how do we actually start to like, you know, slice this down and solve some of these pain points? What's the most practical? How do we get on top of it the fastest? But personally, I wouldn't rely on my bookkeeper to keep my price book current, because whoever's quoting the job needs to be held accountable for making sure the jobs are profitable.
I like that. So
that's a great point.
So based on how you guys work, Spencer, at Shift, would you find value, or do your clients regularly bring in someone from the ops team as well? Like, so obviously you have like the CEO or the owner or whatever their title is, president.
Yeah, sure.
Do you find that there's some really useful things that those meetings, when you guys bring in like a controller or CFO on the fractional side, that there's some value there?
Yeah, on our side, it would be the controller bringing the reports. It's a custom report for the clients, et cetera. Often they might have their head of operations or whoever kind of runs that. Or we can do a secondary report. So it's like, here's the owner's report, and then here's a management report that might have a few things that the owner doesn't want kind of everybody having. Okay. But, you know, if you're the service manager, here's the service report. If you're the, you know, install manager, here's the install report, that type of thing.
Yeah. How often, whenever you give those reports separated like that, does the service manager blame the install manager and the install manager blame the service? Because I remember that those battles back in the day, whenever I was GM and even service manager, and you had callbacks that the service techs ran on an install that the install manager, you know, was in control of. And so then they're having to bill the service department bills the install department. And then they're like, we don't get charged street rate. We need to get charged something else. And it turned into a big old fiasco.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I personally am not involved with enough of our clients to have seen that directly, but I was kind of laughing because I feel you.
So, you mentioned that a little while ago, you mentioned that, I can't remember exactly what it was you said, but the way that something's presented now, like you don't like the way it's analyzed currently. Yeah. How what is it that you don't like, and what is the right way to do it?
Well, I mean, we all know what a regular set of financial statements looks like, right? Yeah. They're long. There's depending on the format, there can be lots of columns, lots of numbers. You know, especially if you're not trained, your eyes get tired just looking at it. You know, sometimes I look at financials and it's the same thing. And so, you know, the thing that I kind of, you know, another analogy is, you think of a stock chart. We've all seen a stock chart, right? Mm-hmm. The number one rule of stock charts is, if I invested in it, don't. That's probably going to be how you're going to do well. But, you know, we've all seen the stock chart that has the line kind of going up. You know, it's bouncing up and down. And if you see a price volume, you'll see how much volume traded at the bottom in the bar chart. And you look at that, and in like in a second, you know how that stock has been going over the last 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever, how, whatever the range is. Now, imagine you were looking at that stock chart in data format. It was just on an Excel form with the day, the high, the low, you know, the range, the volume like that. You're like, well, I can't, like, I can look at it and it might, you know. So now imagine we take your financial statements and we put it into data visual, you use data visualization. So now imagine a chart where you've got your expenses. There's one line that's this year. There's one line that's last year. There's one line that's budget. You literally, you picture a stock chart in your head. It looks like that. You can in a second see our expenses higher than lower than budget, higher than lower than last year. Are we trending the right way? Are we trending in a problem? And now the trick is understanding those levers I mentioned before, focusing on those levers, identifying which are the numbers that really drive the results, putting that into data visualization to make it, it's really quick, simple, and intuitive. You don't have to be an accountant. We all know managing labor is crucial, 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 crucial. Not just in this industry, pretty much every industry, but particularly this industry, it's crucial. So if you looked at your install labor as a percentage of sales, your service labor as a percentage of sales, and you see the line going up, you know, labor's going the wrong way. You don't need to try and pick it apart, pull it out of these statements. And because actually 90% of the information that's transmitted in our brain is done in visual format. It's not done in letters and numbers. So why are we presenting our financial information in letters and numbers? It's just not how our brains naturally function. Turn those into pictures. You know, the other example I like to use that helps visually is, you know, if I were to ask you what percent of your receivables are current, you know, you probably go to your accounts receivable aging report, all this crap. Well, now picture a pie chart. Half the pie is current. A third of the pie is 1 to 30 days. An eighth of the pie is 30 to 60 days. Whatever your aging is, you can see it in a second. So moving to data visualization is one of the easiest, fastest ways if you're struggling with the numbers. And by the way, I'm not expecting any business owner to go in Excel and start cranking out these charts. It's about holding your team accountable to bringing you information in a way that you understand, so that you can do your job. Your job isn't to run the accounting department. Your job is to hold them accountable to get you what you need. Especially when you combine the data visualization with those key levers. When you do those two combined, it's a game changer for most business owners who struggle with this.
I'm curious why QuickBooks doesn't already do that.
The more recent versions do, but frankly, I hate the reporting that comes out of any accounting software. I've never seen one I liked. We actually built our own, which has an API to QuickBooks, that has an API to ServiceTitan and a few other softwares. And then it actually puts it in the data visualization format that we like, which again, it's focused on the key levers. And then it goes and does the deep diving once you know which lever is the problem, and then can do other reports and other analysis to help explain the story. You know, QuickBooks is designed for accountants to do debits and credits. That's what it's designed for. And yes, they try, but I don't know how to say this, and I always worry I get myself in trouble. I don't think most accountants think about what the business owners need. That's the problem. And I've had all of those pain points as the business owner. Like, I've struggled through it. I've been frustrated. I've been stuck. And so it's like, it's just, how do we just translate that language a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, I was on my screen when I was looking away, I was pulled up my last report I get every month. It's a 232 page document. I don't think I make it past page 10 because I only care about like the P&L right now.
Yeah.
I know there's other stuff in here. Nobody cringe at me. There's probably other stuff I should be looking at, but that's what I look at.
And it's I'm cringing more. I'm cringing more at 232 pages.
I'm just scrolling through this. I'm like, holy hell, this is ridiculous. And it's got like all the different transactions, all this stuff. Yeah. I'm sure it's just going to keep getting longer as we grow, but I'm like, I'm never going to look at any of this.
Josh, we got to talk.
At least it's not real paper. At least it's not real paper that someone's printing out, because then we'd have real problems. We'd have a lack of trees.
Yeah.
But I love what you said there.
I have a question. I want to transition over to your book, Entre Numbers. Great. And so the first question I have is, how does Entre Numbers help entrepreneurs who are frustrated or embarrassed by their financials?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the book version of some of the tips and tools that I've been giving. So it really kind of goes through the whole story, what the problem areas are, and then how to actually go about implementing it. There's a couple checklists in terms of like, you know, what are the things that need to be in place to get the hygiene? You know, we talk about hygiene, the basics of accounting. That's what most people think of as bookkeeping, is the hygiene. You just got to get the numbers right. But then there's the insights. How do we actually know that we have the information in order to drive the best decisions for the business possible? So it's really just, it's a bit of a how-to guide. I did my best to not make it sound like an accounting book. We try and have some fun, tell some stories in there, so you don't feel like poking your eyes out.
It really is. It's an easy read. Yeah. I don't remember when you first sent me a book. 2020-ish?
2000, I'm guessing. 2020, not 2000. That's, no, pardon me. I don't know what happened to my brain there.
Yeah, 2000, 2020.
You have been doing this a long time.
Yeah. And I remember the first time I read it, I was like, oh, this is surprisingly simple. It's not super nerd stuff that goes over my head. And I'm one of those people that I tend to like KPIs and numbers. And I can overwhelm myself because I've found since the podcast that I get bombarded with KPIs from the outside looking in, and it overwhelms my brain sometimes. And so reading this book has been great for me. The second question last question I have about Entre Numbers is what's Say been again, the Hirsch? Most,
what's the name of the book?
Entre Numbers.
What did there I say? Entre Numbers. Entre Numbers.
Entre Numbers. Yeah.
Hush your mouth, Joshua.
I put the link in the social media feeds, so you guys can don't have to listen to Tersh. You can just click on it.
Ignore anything that Josh
says.
Josh. What's been the most impactful feedback that you've gotten, that you received from the book?
That's a great question. I think it's actually come more from like people like you. I've had business coaches who have said, I send it to all of my new clients. There's a coaching organization kind of near where I live. I'm in Vancouver, BC. I presented at their conference, and they're a coaching organization that basically takes the best ideas from a bunch of different disciplines and mashes it together. Cause there's, you know, like whether you follow EOS or you're in CEO Warrior, whatever your kind of thing is, there's always elements that, you know, there's other tools that are out there, and they've put it on their reading list. So it's really, for me, it's when the coaches and the people who get business get what I'm trying to do and say, this is what we need to use to help our clients. So that's been the most impactful for me, and has been quite rewarding and appreciated to hear.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Spencer, where if people want to learn more about Shift and schedule a call with you guys, where should they go to do so?
Yeah, so we're at shiftfinancial.co, not .com. Somebody stole the .com and is really ransoming at really high rates. So we have not paid them off. We just went shiftfinancial.co. I'm Spencer at shiftfinancial.co. So easy to find me. You can find my LinkedIn with my name, and there's some other social media stuff out there that you can find. But shiftfinancial.co is the best place to find us.
Awesome. Josh, I have a handful of books here. How are we giving them away?
I will get back to you on that.
and if I can just,
that GPT is probably going to help me with some ideas. Actually,
how do you do a giveaway on these books? But actually, I'll just do one thing. Is a thank you for having me on. If you know the first three people that reach out, what I'll do, if you're on QuickBooks Online, we'll connect you to our API, and I will sit with you and personally do a review of your books, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and give you kind of the types of advice and recommendation if you were a Shift client. But we'll do it for free as a thank you for having. For having me on the podcast. The first three people to email and asking for that.
I appreciate that. That's really cool of you.
My pleasure.
Awesome.
That's how you do a giveaway, Josh.
Yeah.
That was great.
Good job, Spencer. Good job.
I don't even know why. Clearly, I'm not getting paid this week, so.
Spencer, we really appreciate hanging out with us, and it's always great seeing you. If anybody has any questions at all, don't hesitate to reach out to Spencer. And Josh, do you have anything else before we wrap up?
No, this is great. I really enjoyed the conversation. It was great getting to meet you. I met a couple of your team members at the CEO Warrior event that we were at, but now it's all put together, and I can again visualize who the team is and how it all came together. So
It's awesome. And this was the first time I'd seen your guys' intro video there. And I did want to point out one thing. I didn't want to start with this, but I'll say it. I've met Tersh a bunch of times at trade shows and stuff. And what was true to form in those videos is your shoes are always amazing. You wear the best shoes of anyone I know, and they're always spotless. And I saw like three or four different pair in that opening video.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I have blue suede shoes on right now.
When we go to Service World Expo, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to keep track of how many times you get comments on your shoes as we're walking around. Keep it like a mental tally.
I mean, you got to be known for something, right?
Throw it in the group for fun. And maybe we'll do a poll in the group. Like, how many times do you think Tersh's shoes got mentioned at Service World Expo?
We'll see.
Oh, that's the giveaway for the book. There you go.
There you go.
Whoever gets it right gets a free book.
That's it. Yeah.
There you go.
Closest ones. Cool. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Servicebusinessmastery.com. Don't forget, there's also that little icon at the bottom of the screen. If you want to record a message to ask for to Josh or myself or for Spencer, and we'll get it sent over to him. With that being said, I hope you have a wonderful and safe week until we talk again next time on Service Business Mastery Podcast. We'll see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.